You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
This is Sovereign Canada. I'm Mike McCullough, broadcasting on CIVL from the University of the Fraser Valley, syndicated on campus and community radio stations across the country, and recorded on the shared, unceded, and traditional territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. Today on the show, this past Saturday marks 45 years since iconic Canadian hero Terry Fox set upon the Marathon of Hope. You'll hear from Terry's brother, Fred Fox, about Terry's personal sacrifice and the legacy he leaves behind.
Terry, it's been said he's a great example of what Canadians are, hardworking, honest, and all of that, and Terry represents that. So I think for people to look at somebody like Terry today as a symbol of what Canadians are, I think he would be proud of that.
Then, the former member of parliament from Timmins, James Bay, and the author of The Resistance on Substack, Charlie Angus, made an appearance in Nanaimo from his Cross Canada Elbows Up Resistance Tour, and I'll play you most of that speech.
We have to stay true, north, strong, and free, right? Elbows up, elbows up. Thank you so much.
I only remove the most nakedly partisan parts of it, as it is a federal election. And besides, I'm sure you can already guess who Angus is pulling for. Anyway, all of that ahead on this edition of Sovereign Canada, available to you at sovereigncanada.fyi. And thanks so much for joining me. I have a great episode of Sovereign Canada planned for you today, the seventh episode of this show. But before we get to that interview with Fred Fox and to the highlights from Charlie Angus in Nanaimo on his Elbows Up tour, I want to give a shout out to our listeners, not only in the Fraser Valley, everywhere the CIVL signal can be heard booming from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on 101.7 FM, and soon from a repeater in Chilliwack on 92.3 FM, but also to our friends in Waterloo at Radio Waterloo, listening to us on CKMS, Ontario's third campus FM station, which broadcasts on 102.7 FM. And as best as I can tell, they're the first station that picked this show up in syndication. So kudos and thanks so much. And it is kind of fitting, but not at all related to CKMS being the very first radio station that I ever volunteered at. Only for a brief while. I was getting ready to enter the broadcast radio program at Conestoga College and just wanted to play radio, so I think I did like a half a dozen shows there or so at the time. So shout out to CKMS for this full circle moment, and a shout out to listeners in Nanaimo and our newest syndication partner, CHLY 101.7 FM, broadcasting from downtown Nanaimo and connected to Vancouver Island University, VIU, which is also a kind of quirky little fit because, as some of you out there in Radioland may know, Civil and CHLY's signals, both on 101.7 FM, spill into one another in the sort of middle of their respective coverage areas, in between them, I should say. Somewhere around the Portman Bridge along Highway 1, they start to get into a little bit of a tug of war as to who's going to be the radio station that your car will be able to pick up. Anyway, I think there are a few other stations on the list, but it is a little bit fuzzy as to which ones have officially picked up the show or which have plans to do so. Campus and community radio, it's very indie, very distinct. Every station has their own way of doing things, including that some may not have notified me that they're airing this program. So as it is a relatively new thing, again, growing and continuing to do so, the show is available to you if you're just picking this up for the first time. All of the shows at sovereigncanada.fyi. We have a full archive of every episode there. And the RSS feed is easy as well. That's sovereigncanada.fyi/RSS, which you can plug into your favorite podcasting app and pick us up there. We're also on Spotify. And if Apple Podcasts would pick up the pace a bit, the show will be there too. I only submitted it for review about a month ago, so any day now, Apple. I am thrilled to be growing this project with your help. It is a passion project, and I'm doing this because I feel like it needs to be done. We need to keep on having these conversations about how to stand up and defend Canada from Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican fascists south of the border. These people would seek to end the very idea of what Canada represents. Donald Trump has said as much. And that being said, you know, doing this, it takes time and resources. So if you've enjoyed what you've been hearing and you can afford to pitch in, if you value this program, it would mean the world to me if you would sign up for the free newsletter that I use to send out the notifications for every episode. And, you know, if you can monetarily support, there is a paid version of that newsletter, which grants you the big whoop additional privilege of being able to comment on stories on sovereigncanada.fyi. But nothing that I produce for the show is paywalled. Everything is absolutely 100% guaranteed free, and it will stay that way. No strings attached, because again, these conversations are of the utmost importance right now. And I want as many people to be able to share these episodes, to be able to hear from the subject matter experts, political leaders, and everyday Canadians like you who are out there making a difference. Why? Well, because we need to remember that we are distinct as a nation. Yeah, we have a shared history with the United States, sure. But we have our own history, our own sovereignty, and our own country. Continuing to define that allows us to defend it. And this country, founded by Indigenous peoples and settler colonial people from the British and French empires, sure, it isn't perfect. I think we all understand that. But the work that we're doing here in Canada to continue to reconcile who we are as a nation is worth far more than anything the U.S. can ever give us. And I think we all know that we would suffer tremendously if Donald Trump ever got his felonious little hands on our country, our flag, our decency, our way of life, on us. All right, I'm going to hop off of this little soapbox of mine here. And I think you'll love hearing from that Charlie Angus Elbows Up Resistance tour. No, this show hasn't become Sovereign Canada with Charlie Angus, in spite of the fact that he's appeared as a guest twice and been mentioned in about half of the episodes, and will now be featured for this third time thanks to CHLY Executive Director Jesse Woodward recording Angus's NaNoWriMo event and submitting the audio to me. But it just so happens that Angus has been helping to galvanize this movement to help to keep the pressure up to resist Donald Trump. But before we get there, we'll talk to the brother of a man who became an icon in his quest to defeat cancer, and in so doing gave Canadians everywhere a symbol of personal sacrifice and eternal courage, which many, me included, have continued to draw inspiration from. Not just in the name of standing up to cancer, but also has helped to give us that sense of what it is to be Canadian. My interview with the brother of Terry Fox, Fred Fox, coming up right after this. 45 years ago this past Saturday, a selfless young man named Terry Fox set off on a mission to cross Canada, running a marathon a day and determined to turn his experience with losing his right leg to cancer into the dream of raising a dollar for every Canadian, then 24 million people. On April 12, 1980, Terry Fox set off from mile zero of the Marathon of Hope near St. John's, Newfoundland, after dipping his prosthetic right leg in the Atlantic Ocean. Today, the Terry Fox Foundation says it has raised more than $950 million and funded over 1,300 cancer research projects in the name and in honor of the iconic Canadian. I'm pleased to be joined by Terry's big brother, Fred Fox, who's marking the anniversary of the Marathon of Hope this week. Welcome to Sovereign Canada, Fred.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's great to be with you.
And so what are you reflecting on this week as you recollect the heroism of your brother, Terry Fox?
Yeah, you're right. It's been a week. I was in Newfoundland last week, and in Ontario now. But on Saturday, April 12th, when Terry started, was in St. John. So it was a time of reflection and mainly thinking about what Terry started on that day in Newfoundland and what it's resulted in all these years later, and how proud he would be of what he started, the inspiration that he was, the sacrifice that he made in 1980 to impact so many lives. So that's what we're thinking about today.
Yeah, and if we go back to sort of before the Marathon of Hope, while Terry was soliciting support, the Canadian Cancer Society had asked him to get a physical to ensure that he could attempt his mission to cross Canada. And the doctors assessing his fitness found that he had a condition commonly found in athletes: left ventricular hypertrophy, or an enlarged heart. How poetic is that?
Yeah. No kidding. And Terry went through some chemotherapy treatment, which doesn't help the condition as well. But you're right. That's how it was. But I don't think too much was going to ever stop Terry. He was so focused and determined to do what he was going to do before he left Vancouver, that nothing was going to stop him.
Yeah, and in a way, Terry giving of himself to such a degree, putting his body through those daily rigors of running a marathon before he called off his mission just outside of Thunder Bay, at the very least, it wouldn't have helped his personal recovery and very likely would have made it worse. But in so doing, he became a hero the world over. So how do you reconcile that personal sacrifice that Terry made with the gift of his legacy?
I think Terry had realized, when he was first diagnosed with cancer, Terry would often, when he was running across Canada, he would say that, getting cancer made him a more caring person. And Terry would often say as well that, he felt that he was given another chance, a second chance. He finished his chemo, he recovered, he was healthy, healthy enough to run 5,000 kilometers in training. So I think, Terry felt that that was his purpose. And to whatever end that would be, his purpose was to inspire a country, to make a difference in the lives of other people, to impact cancer research in this country. And I think Terry was fine with that, and he said as much not long before he passed away, that he was happy with how things turned out and happy with the way the country responded.
Yeah, and for modern aspiring activists who want to make their voices heard, what part of Terry's legacy can folks borrow or lean upon today?
I think the number one is his honesty, his integrity. So many today, I believe, are all about wanting to, be out there, be famous, be rich, do this. And that wasn't Terry. Terry wasn't doing what he was doing, pounding out those kilometers every single day on an artificial leg to become rich or famous or a hero, to become known as a Canadian hero. He was doing it to help others. So, that honesty, that integrity, people saw that integrity in when he spoke about why he was doing it. It wasn't about him. It was about the Marathon of Hope and making a difference.
And not to ask you to speak for your brother, but how do you think he would have felt knowing that now today, so many Canadians view him as a symbol of strength and grit and of really that Canadian identity?
I think he'd be proud of it. When I was in St. John's, when Terry was there 45 years ago, he had signed the guest book in City Hall, and he wrote, Terry Fox running across Canada, raise money for cancer research, and to be an inspiration to all people. And I think Terry would be proud to know that, that's part of his legacy. He's inspired not only cancer patients, but I've met people over the years that have been inspired, saw Terry running by them as they were walking out of a bar and felt, well, crap, if he's doing that, I need to change the direction of my life and I'm going to start running or doing something like that. So Terry would be proud if he's impacted how other people look at life.
And during this time when the very idea of Canada is under attack, Canadians everywhere are looking for those symbols of identity. And how do you think Terry would feel to know that so many folks are seeking strength in his selflessness?
Yeah, even back in 1980, when Terry was making his way across the country, it was said that he was bringing our country all together for a common cause. And there was some political stuff going on back in 1980, but he was bringing our country together. I think Terry, it's been said, he's a great example of what Canadians are, hardworking, honest and all of that, and Terry represents that. So I think for people to look at somebody like Terry today as a symbol of what Canadians are, I think he would be proud of that.
Man, I tell you the truth, like when I see stock footage of Terry on the Marathon Hope, you just have to put a little bit of soaring strings underneath there, and you brought me to tears immediately. And his image and his likeness has been revived over and over and over again over the years to remind Canadians that we are Canada and we are strong. And yeah. I think that that in and of itself is nearly as great of a gift as everything that the Terry Fox Foundation has done in the time since.
Terry was a proud Canadian, and it's why, in the Marathon of Hope t-shirts that he wore, it was a map of Canada, so that says it all.
It really does, yeah. Fred, is there anything that you finally, how can folks get involved in the mission of the Terry Fox Foundation?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Terry would often say that, we'll all be touched by cancer, maybe not personally, family member, a friend, a neighbor down the street. So that's why it was important to get involved. And it still is today. So our website, terryfox.org, people can go to the website and, have a look around. There's some great information about not only about how to get involved and register for a Terry Fox run, but or maybe an event that you want to do, but also you can find out about where all the money is going and the researchers that are involved in that. So go to the website, terryfox.org, and people can find out how to get involved there.
Yeah, and you're just about to hit the $1 billion mark, as I understand it, $950 million raised in the time since. That's an amazing accomplishment. Do you know what some of the planning is toward when that number is finally hit? Because it's sort of an if, not a when, or it's a when rather than an if, right, at this point?
We may hit that this year. We're kind of celebrating the 45th anniversary. I'm not sure we would celebrate a dollar total like that. It's more, the dollar amount doesn't matter as much as the impact it's having and the impact that it's had. And that's more important than the dollar amount is the impact, how it's impact lives. Canada has some of the best researchers in the world today, and they're making great strides and basically, they're saying that every day there's some, they're making progress every single day. And I think that's the thing that we would, once we hit that $1 billion mark, is we'll talk more about the impact rather than the dollar amounts.
That's a good way of looking at it, I think, too. And Fred, is there anything that you'd like to add that I haven't thought to ask you?
Just that, in speaking about Canada, it's Canadians from coast to coast to coast that have kept Terry's legacy alive. And they're the ones that have done all the hard work, volunteered their time in small and big communities, over 600 communities, 10,000 schools in this country, that it's Canadians that have done all the work to keep Terry's dream alive and that have been inspired by him. But, our family is involved, the Terry Fox Foundation is, but none of that happens without Canadians united and together every single year for the past 45 years to keep Terry's dream alive. So we thank all those people who've done that.
Yeah, that's Fred Fox, and I see you're wearing the slogan of this time of at the Terry Fox Foundation, Finish It, with the silhouette of Terry Fox marking the second I in the word Finish It. So let's finish it, right, and get cancer eliminated. That was Terry's dream.
Yeah, and that's what the Finish It campaign is all about. It's not about, getting out there and and running those kilometers from Thunder Bay to Vancouver Island. It's about finishing it, getting to the goal line of that Terry wanted us to, in eradicating the suffering that cancer causes completely. So we're getting closer every day to finishing it.
Thanks so much for your time, Fred.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
That's Fred Fox, the older brother of Terry Fox, reflecting on the heroism of his brother. Yeah, and as Fred said, if you'd like to get involved with the mission of the Terry Fox Foundation, visit terryfox.org. All right, still to come on this all-new edition of Sovereign Canada, Charlie Angus swept through Nanaimo on his Elbows Up resistance tour, and I'll share most of that recording with you, removing only the direct political endorsements as I'm trying to thread that needle on federal elections fairness rules. That's next. This is Sovereign Canada. When longtime Member of Parliament Charlie Angus announced that he wouldn't be seeking re-election for his seat as a Member of Parliament for Timmins James Bay, many took that to mean he was retiring from public life. But Angus told me on this program and has continued to prove with his actions he's only retiring from Parliament and remains as active politically as ever, using his voice to help galvanize Canadians against the threat leveled at our nation by Donald Trump and his MAGA fascist enablers. Last week, Angus swept through BC on a pair of stops to Vancouver Island, and I'd like to share most of his Nanaimo speech with you. As I said, I've edited out any direct political endorsements from this speech, as this show is more about the message of fighting fascism and resisting U.S. aggression, and I'm trying to be mindful of Elections Canada rules relating to broadcast fairness when it comes to equal coverage and airtime when covering candidates for office. So that means if I don't cover any one candidate or endorsements of them, then I don't have to offer to provide an opportunity for equal coverage to each candidate in a given riding or race. All right, with that weak argument out of the way, here's Charlie Angus in Nanaimo, as recorded by the executive director of CHLY 101.7 FM, Jesse Woodward. Charlie Angus.
I want to begin by saying how much hope I get from being here tonight. You too, yes. Because we are in dark times. We are in the time of darkness. And nobody is coming to save us. I want to put that on the table, and we're going to talk about that. But that doesn't worry me. Because I have seen the power of the Canadian people. And you inspire me, and you are inspiring the world right now. And we're going to talk about that too. So I know that some days you wake up in the morning and grab your phone as you're still, your eyes aren't even open because you want to know if the world is still there. Because you don't know what that criminal sexual predator has done in the time that you went to bed and woke up. And there are times when you can be afraid. It's okay. And it's okay to be unsure. Because we are in the time of the monsters. But never forget, when you get up, is to reach out. Because Canada is reaching out to each other from one end of the country to the other, and we are strong together. Nobody's coming to save us. It's up to us to save us, and we will save us. And I know my beautiful NDP colleagues talked about love, hope and optimism. I'm all for that. But I'm from a mining town, so consider me the brass knuckles wing of the love, hope and optimism team, because damn way, no way are they going to take our country. We will fight them every step of the way. So I want a little bit of brass knuckles out there. So we got some brass knuckles, Canadian brass knuckles, red and white brass knuckles. I went to bed early the night of the Trump election. Because I knew how it was going to end. Because I remember the last Trump election. And we were all telling ourselves it couldn't happen. We kept saying, well, wait, Pennsylvania hasn't come in. Florida hasn't come in. And I remember hearing the same talk. We were all at the little bar that we go to in Ottawa. And I thought, I'm not going to watch this go down tonight. And in the morning, I didn't get out of bed. because I knew something fundamental had broken in the world. And it was something that was broken in Canada as well. The misinformation, the disinformation, the rage, the pecking at each other, the sense that we heard again and again and again from Pierre Poilievre and the MAGA Maple that Canada's broken, Canada's broken. And we saw suddenly it broke in the United States. And I didn't get out of bed. And my wife called me. And now my wife says I married Facebook. She was back home in Northern Ontario and she said, "You haven't posted anything about the election on Facebook." And I said, "I don't have a clue what to say." She said, "I don't care what you say something. Because people need to hear someone saying it's gonna be okay." And I said, "I don't know if it's gonna be okay." She said, "You speak and start speaking now." So I did. And people started to reach out immediately. And that's what began, was our unsure, we were overwhelmed, we were frightened. But when someone speaks and then another person speaks and another person speaks, we realize we're not alone. And when we're not alone, we become something much bigger. Because one person can be defeated, two people strong, three, four, five. You start adding it up and we become the nation that we are, that will never bend, never break, never give any ground to a criminal regime. That's who we are. And it must be also said that the resistance in Canada didn't come from leaders, it came from the people. Everyone doing their part, right? People going to the grocery stores and saying, "To hell with that. I'm not gonna take that." You know, I got a call from a little old woman. I shouldn't say little old woman, she was little. She was very old. She was telling me, I was out there with my walker in the snowstorm. And a woman stopped and asked if I needed help. She said, "I'm pretty good, I can make my way in this snowstorm." She said, the woman walked with me. And the woman said, "Do you think we will survive Trump?" And this woman said, "Hell yeah." She said, "I'll eat root vegetables. I've eaten them before. I don't need American asparagus." That's who we are. I'll eat root vegetables any day over American asparagus. And I say that because this is how it began. It began with ordinary Canadians just feeling, no, you are not going to insult us, you are not going to attack our nation, and you are not going to say that we do not have a right to decide our own future. I remember just after it all started, and I said to some women that I ran into, I said, "Hey, you know, don't shop American." And they were like, "Oh, Ziff, we haven't been shopping American in weeks." Like, okay, who told you? Oh, they said, "We don't do this." Then I started getting messages, you know, from Medicine Hat and from St. John's and from Quebec saying, "We don't buy anything from that predator nation anymore." That's where it began. And people started calling me who'd given up a 6-person year-long planned golf trip to Arizona that cost them their deposits and said, "We would rather lose money than give them any money." Yeah. That happened. People who canceled trips, people who walked away on their condos, people who said, "When you attack my nation, we're done."
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So what does that mean? Because it may seem like a small thing, but the boycott is a very, very powerful tool to understand the power of the boycott. The boycott is actually named after a person, Mr. Boycott. He worked for the English in Ireland in oppressing the poor. And the Irish had no ability to take on the powerful. But Mr. Boycott was the guy who collected their rent and oppressed them. And the Irish in that region decided, "You have ceased to exist in our world." So when Mr. Boycott needed help with his horse, There was no one to help. When he needed something moved, nothing got moved. He was basically forced out of the region by ordinary poor people who just said, we will not go along with injustice. That's where the term boycott comes from. Thank you, Mr. Boycott, for being a jerk.